Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. And I'm being joined right now by Will Moriarty. Where can they find you on Twitter?
What's up, Eric Heisman? How are you doing this fine evening, sir?
I'm doing okay, and apparently you're not going to show your face around here.
No, I am currently traipsing my way back home. I was at the game, and I'm currently at an undisclosed location near the ballpark.
And apparently you're lost your audio, so I don't know what happened there. So, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the Locked On NFL draft coverage. So the Locked On NFL draft coverage is something that is going on right now. And they're partnering up with the Draft Network to cover the NFL draft live. So insight and analysis from the Locked On experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page and watch live 3-day coverage from NFL draft on from the 29th through March 1st. Okay, so Will, I know we lost you there, but guys, don't forget you can listen to us everywhere you get your podcasts, and let's talk a little bit about the Houston Astros. And I was trying to make a little joke about Mike Fiers. You don't want to show your face around here, Will Moriarty, kind of like Mike Fiers. And
wow, man, that's low. That is low, sir. That is low. Just like Mike Fiers is a low person. Can we, like, I'm not the first person to make this observation, man. And by the way, to answer your question, I'm so rude. I did not answer your first question to me on this program tonight. They can find me on Twitter at Will Moriarty. 86. That's Moriarty. I have no idea why anybody would want to find me on Twitter, for that matter, anywhere else. But you know, I guess if they want to, follow along, sure. There I am. Yeah, like I'm not the first person to make this observation, man. But what the A's are doing with Mike Fiers, like, that should be a scandal. Like, it's a scandal that that's not a scandal. It's not cool in any way. It's not, I mean, it's every bad thing. It's unprofessional. What's a polite way of putting this? It's not very masculine. I think it's just, there's a decided lack of courage. I think it's, and they're making it a thing by continuing to take every opportunity to have him not pitch against the Astros. Like, if they'd have just gotten it out of the way, like, I don't know, a year ago when nobody was in the stadiums, or like if they'd have just, it wouldn't be a thing. But now they're kind of making it into this thing. But again, it's only a thing for Astros fans because we're the ones mad about it. But nobody else, like baseball media, doesn't seem to really think it's a scandal. But it's definitely a scandal. It's definitely not in any way. It shouldn't be acceptable to just, like, hide a pitcher from a team. And at this point, I wouldn't even buy it if they tried. I don't know what their official explanation is. I don't know that they're bothering to even give one anymore. But you can't BS me into believing that it's just a massive coincidence that he has not appeared against the Astros since, like, the Gerald Ford administration.
Well, I know Dean Stevens just joined, so I wanted to give him a chance to kind of talk about this in a second. But Mike Fiers actually addressed this today, and he said, somebody said, well, if does he have any issues about facing the Astros, who will be facing the A's in mid-May? And he said, no, it's just another big league team, another team in our division we need to beat, and keep playing well against to win this division. You keep bringing it against, you keep on bringing it up about this bad past. But for me, it's just about playing baseball. I've said it before. I'm kind of past that. And I'm just here to play ball. So leave me the F alone and let me go play baseball. So, Dean Stevens, what do you think about Mike Fire's answer there?
Did he really say that? Did he really drop the F-bomb at the end?
No, he didn't do that. I added that.
Dude, that was excellent. Listen, I've been in the news business and doing sports and news for 30 years. You know, the last few years it's been rough on us because, you know, we're called fake news. But I think what Mike Fiers had said was just fake, right? This bottom line. And it would be better if he manned up, right? If you're going to spill the beans and you're going to let the cat out of the bag, and if you're going to be the guy who blows the whistle, then you should be man enough to stand up and say, hey, you know, I don't want to face him, or I don't feel good facing him. I don't care what it is. But he's got the baseball in his hand. He's the one throwing the pitches. He's got control. But, you know, when I saw that quote today, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was that is complete, absolute BS. That is just simply not true. Every time that he didn't pitch against us last year, I kept checking the IR to make sure that he wasn't, like, you know, on the injured reserve list, and he wasn't. You know, as we take a look at this Astro team, you know, you need bullpen help. You know, you need a fresh arm. And if they want to bury him in the bullpen or they want to bury him in the locker room, you know, then go ahead. But I've never been lucky winning the Powerball. But I would bet everything I have that we don't see him pitch this year.
Yes,
against us.
Maybe he went on the injured list with, how to put this politely, a lack of fortitude.
I hear what you're saying, but yes, those groin injuries can be difficult.
Indeed. Yeah. No, Eric, I don't know about Dean. I have little else to say about Mr. Fiers and this whole situation that I would dare to repeat on your show. The rest of the words I have to describe the situation are not as kind.
Yeah. And Mike Fiers on being in the bullpen, he says it hurts. But at the same time, in the position we're in as a team, I want to do anything that's going to help this team. So, yes, he said that like that, I'm sure. But, yeah, Bill Morton says that we're going to play them at their place in May and then in July at our place. I'm almost bet that he'll be back on the IL. Just another team. Yeah, right. The Astros fans were cheering. We want Mike Fiers. We want Mike Fiers at Minute Park. This is not just another team. This is a big deal for Astros fans. This is a big deal for the Astros. And it's not like he's a hitter that they're just going to throw at, like a pitcher's going to throw at him.
Right.
So it's not, I know it's not that type of situation, but you know the Astros are going to be extra dialed in against his little batting practice pitches anyway. So,
Well, sorry. Eric, let me ask you this, Eric. What happens if he does face them? And let's just say either by coincidence or by intention, let's say he hits somebody, right? What's the next move, right? Does somebody go to the mound? Do the dugouts come out?
Yeah. I'm sure. So Tony is right. Yeah, he said Christian Javier dominated. Why are we wasting a whole segment on this? So he's absolutely right. Let's go ahead and move on, and let's talk a little bit about Built Bar. Built Bar is basically a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and it's covered in chocolate, and it's really great. And there's 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. There's 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, an apple almond crisp. If you want to maybe catch a rat outside your house or outside Minute Maid Park, maybe you can use a Built Bar to kind of put it outside the rat hole or something. But they're covering 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they're great for the health conscious guy, or if you're trying to, I'm not going to go there, but lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Their bars are low calorie, low sugar, and high protein, high fiber, and they're great for the keto diet. And one of my favorite is the peanut butter. It's 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. It's a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. This only lasts for a week or so. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED15. For 15% off at builtbar.com. And so, Christian Javier, I know a lot of us have been saying, we need this guy to go deeper than five innings. We need him to be more efficient. I know, Will, you're at the game today, and he had the whole episode about spilling the coffee on himself before the game. And he, everybody's like, dude, you need to go change your uniform. He's like, nah, I'm fine. So with coffee all over him, he went out there and pitched seven innings. What did you see out there, Will?
He's good. he's good. I mean, he just
yeah, I paid a lot of bucks for this expert analysis here.
I don't know. He's a very confident young man. He has swing and miss ability against I don't know. You know, I used to consider like the Mariners kind of a, you know, like a double A Seattle. That's what I called him. But I mean, he's up here and he's really establishing himself. And you know, I watched him tonight really just kind of hold his own. And yeah, no, I'm definitely as sold as most folks are. He's going to be. I mean, I think he's going to be, you know, absolutely crucial to along with every other healthy arm they have at this point. He's going to be absolutely crucial to holding things together until you you know, you get guys like Framber, and there's maybe even another pitcher whose name we all know that hypothetically could be available in like September, October. But now Christian Javier is going to be a very important part of holding things
together. Are you teasing me with Justin Verlander here? Is that what you're doing to me, Will?
I talked about it. I actually haven't had a follow-up conversation. I had a brief chat about it with an old contact of mine from the radio business, Will Carroll. You know, I mean, he is literally on Twitter as the injury expert. I asked him a while back, and he said it was theoretically possible, but he actually did say, now that I think about it, he said, you know, it won't be a big mystery like into August. Like, you'll know if Verlander's going to make like a late season appearance. You know, the way these injuries work, you'll know by, well, he said April. So I don't know. Maybe he'd be a good guest for you, Mr. Hosmer.
Okay, yeah, for sure. And I know Christian Javier ran his scoreless streak to 17 innings. His ERA now is at 0.87, and he beat the Mariners 2-0. The Astros are now 12-11 on the season, and they're only two games behind the A's. So the Astros season, as down as everybody was after that losing streak, the Astros are kind of everybody's a little bit more excited. And you can't get too, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have highs and lows. So you can't get too overly excited about certain things. So I know that his last few starts on April 8th, he had five innings pitched, zero earned runs. April 22nd, five innings pitched, zero runs. Tonight, seven innings pitched, zero runs. This guy is good. So through 20 and two-thirds innings pitched in 2019, he has that 0.87 ERA, and everybody just left me. What the heck? Where did everybody go? All righty. So I guess I'm doing this show by myself now. So he has a 1.74 FIP, and he has a 32.9 strikeout rate. And what I saw in this game is I saw a lot more. He wasn't going for the strikeout rate. He wasn't going for a lot of the. He wasn't going for like the strikeout. So yeah, he wasn't going. I mean, he was getting strikeouts, but if you remember in the previous game where he started out with the 8 straight strikeouts, he was kind of going for the strikeouts, but he was trying to be a little bit more conservative with the strikeouts. With the pitching this time. So I'm like, both you and Will left. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So welcome back, Dean Stevens. So I don't know how much of the game you got to watch, but what are your thoughts so far about Christian Javier? So anyway, while we're having Dean do this, let's move away from, I'm not going to talk about Mike Fiers, but let's go and talk about Kent Emmanuel. I know that he was on our podcast yesterday, and he said that he would like to start Thursday's game, but before today's game that Brent Strom said that Kent Emmanuel and Luis Garcia are both options to start on Thursday. But Dusty Baker said that they'll probably make a decision after tonight's game. But then Dusty Baker said, well, we're not really sure who's going to be starting the game on Thursday. It kind of depends on tomorrow's game. But he said that likely that Kent Emmanuel's not going to be available tomorrow. And so most likely that means that Kent Emmanuel is going to be pitching on Thursday. So who knows? They could go ahead and go with Luis Garcia on short rest. He only threw 28 pitches on Saturday. I forgot what game he came in. But after throwing 8 2/3 innings, you would be like, you'd be kind of silly not to give him a chance to be the starter. But the justification for having him in the bullpen is Dusty Baker likes to have those two lefties in a bullpen. And I know that's why we have Brooks Raley. And Brooks Raley, by the way, had a good game. And Ryan Pressly had a good game. So this is something that that you like to have, is you like to have those relievers to have those good games. So that's something to kind of have. We'll have to see. And if you're going to ask me to bet on something, I'm going to go ahead and bet on Kent Emmanuel getting a start. But the dude threw 8 2/3 innings, and he showed that. And Carlos Correa went up to Brent Strom after the game and said, dude, this guy gives us a lot of ground balls. We loved playing behind him. This guy needs to be a starter. Until Framber Valdez comes back, this guy needs to be in the starting rotation. So I think that's what we'll see. And we'll have to see. I'm not Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker does Dusty Baker type things. So speaking of betting, go to betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at betonline.ag. This week has tons of sports action go to. NFL draft is on, and the Kentucky Derby is back, and the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this week. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, and NHL, and all your MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on sidelines anymore, and this is your last chance to get in game as teams prep for their runs to playoff. Head to your website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. Bet online, your online sports book experts. Promo code locked on.
Okay, guys, as we see here, talk on the Locker Room app, we've got Paul Valadez on the call with us, and he is with Belching Beaver Brewery. Let me tell you about their hard seltzers. They have pineapple and mango. They have passion fruit and guava. They have so many more. Let me tell you about the pineapple and mango here. At the B, we love making beer, but we're packing on the pounds, so we came up with a low-carb, no-sugar-added, easy-drinking style made with real fruit. Don't let the color fool you. It's a low-carb beverage, and we all know real fruit ain't clear. That's right, only 110 calories and 10 carbs. There's also raspberry and blackberry. Here at the B, we're making beer, and it is tasting like low-carb, no-sugar-added, easy-drinking style with real fruit. That's right. Fruit ain't clear with raspberry and blackberry. Belching Beaver has drinks for all palates and all groups of people alike. So check out belchingbeaver.com if you're in California, and belchingbeaver.bev. Put in your zip code and find out where you can find Belching Beaver. Here to have a damn good time.
All right, so Dean Stevens, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I've got you now. I've got Yeah, this is cool. It's a learning experience. So yeah, so on my MacBook, I couldn't get in on the had to get on Google Chrome. So I got you, man. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So what are you seeing differently with the Astros versus the Angels and the Mariners versus the team that was losing all those games?
Well, you know, I was looking last night. I was kind of being a stat nerd last night, looking back, you know, through a lot of our games, and you know, you go back to those three losses to the Tigers. You know, I don't really count the two losses to the Rockies so much because, I mean, that was just unbearable weather. But you go back, you look at those three losses to the Tigers. I think they had 7 wins on the year, so 3 of them against the Astros. But, you know, all of a sudden the four or five players come back to the lineup and they make a huge difference. I mean, Altuve comes into the box swinging right out of the get-go. I don't know if he's missed a barrel, you know, over the last 2 days. Bregman, I've said this on Twitter tonight, I don't know in Major League Baseball history if anybody's hit more hard foul balls than Bregman did tonight. So all of a sudden you start lengthening that lineup. You've got four or five guys hitting over 300. Correa's at 280, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, an incredible drop off, you know, to Miles Straw, to Tucker, to Maldonado sitting under 100. But, you know, Tucker, you've watched baseball long enough, you've been involved in the game long enough, you know that you can't hit a ball as hard as he hits a ball and for some of these balls not to fall in. And, you know, and all of a sudden when he starts performing, and again, it's only been a month, all of a sudden that lineup gets really deep and it gets really threatening. And then all of a sudden you're going to bring back a couple of bullpen pieces, right? Scrub comes back and, you know, all of a sudden some of the big ERA numbers that you see in the bullpen, those numbers will start to decrease a little bit. And I know there was probably concern early on that our starters weren't going deep, but again, I don't get really concerned in April, not even really May. But, you know, it's going to be July and August when some team in the AL West is going to go on a run. Somebody's going to go, you know, 20-4. And that's when you start to separate yourself from the rest of the pack. But, you know, I think our starting pitching, I mean, I'm encouraged by it. Emmanuel, that was an unbelievable story. And to be able to add him wherever you want to throw him. All of a sudden, you got a guy in middle relief that can come in and throw some innings. But McCullers, I think, looked good. ERA doesn't, I don't think, really shows it. I think Garcia's throwing the ball well. Win-loss record doesn't really show it. But, man, I loved watching Christian throw tonight. He just seems like an old-time pitcher. He knows exactly where he wants to throw it. He changes speeds, changes eye level really well. And I'm kind of jealous that Will was there because I'd have loved to have been there in person and watched that performance tonight.
Yeah, so before his next start, is he going to have to spill some coffee on himself? Because that was his career high in innings. He's never thrown seven innings before. So, and the career high in pitches, too, because he threw 105 pitches. So this is something that he's setting records now. And so he is now a starter. And I know that he had to get sent down to the alternative training site to build up his pitch count. So, but going back to Kyle Tucker, I know Paul Valdez said, Tucker got an RBI today. Yes, he is getting a lot of good contact. It's not falling. I know that somebody did was this a hit or was this not a hit? And so they would pause it and he was making good contact, but a lot of those were, yeah. And so he is waiting for April to be over. And once May hits, he could snap on like that. This guy is a good hitter. He's having a bad month, but I believe he's still leading the Astros in homers last I checked. And, but I could be wrong. But this guy, I'm not going to give up on him. He still has a lot of talent. And I think that, and like Felipe says, it's still the first month of the season. We still have a long way to go. And a lot of people gave up on the A's after the first 10 games, and look at where they are now. I was, while everybody was celebrating the A's struggling, I'm like, guys, this team is still good. Mm-hmm. And so you can't freak out about a slow start or a hot start. And just look how confident the Mariners came in. There's this guy that said, let's go to the Astros and we're going to go sweep them. And they did this whole like humping motion, and now he feels like an idiot because he's like, oh, now he's tweeting like, oh, why can't the Astros get out of the AL West? And it's like, whatever. But it's just so, whatever. But
I think our pitching staff's too deep. There's too many parts there that are interchangeable, and you know, going back to Tucker, I live on the East Coast, so I listen to Robert Ford and Sparky on the radio a lot. And I mean, I don't think there's a better combo behind the mics in the game of baseball. They're just excellent. But Spark was talking about the other day, I think it was on 790, but he was talking about how he noticed that like Tucker's front foot is pushed a little bit more towards home plate. He really thought he had kind of closed off his shoulder a little bit, right? It doesn't allow you to kind of swing through and open up. And the next game I went and looked, and I compared it to some video I found from a year ago. And literally, like, his front foot is probably 6 inches closer to the plate than it was last year. And I thought, you know, and again, I'm no video guy, I'm no like baseball genius, but I thought Spark hit it right on the head, because he's not really getting the depth on that swing that he used to last year when he was just absolutely pounding the ball. And I think all that stuff works out, you know, and, you know, the Angels scare me the most. I mean, Trout is, gosh, I mean, he's one of five players that you would pay to go see play, right? And Ohtani is just extra special. I don't think they've got the pitching staff or the depth that we do, that they're going to be able to sustain themselves through another 120 games, 30 games, whatever it is. And I think the A's are always going to be pesky.
All right. Before we talk about Framber Valdez, my friend Amory, who's a math teacher, kind of like me, math nerd, he said that Christian Javier is on pace to win 21 games this year. And the reason why he brought this up is my bold prediction was that Christian Javier would lead the Astros in wins this year. So I just want to say that my bold prediction is looking pretty strong right now. And I was kind of worried after he got sent down. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go and hide. But yeah, I think that my prediction is looking pretty good. So I know that Tony was wanting us to talk about Framber Valdez. Yes. The Astros had to basically tell Framber Valdez, look, dude, you're doing good. Let's kind of rein it back. Let's kind of slow down a little bit. You're doing good. I know that he said that he's been doing a lot of Instagram live videos. He's been kind of showing himself pitching, and but he needs to slow it down a little bit. But he said that he's progressed to a point where he's ready to face live hitters. And he fractured his finger on March 2nd. I believe he was facing Francisco Lindor, if I remember correctly. And they've been keeping in touch, him and Brent Strom, and that they had to rein him in a little bit. And Strom said that he's way ahead of schedule. Anybody who's been around him knows that he's resilient, a strong young man who has a high threshold of pain, and he really wants to get back here desperately. So much to the point that he's trying to press faster than our medical field, our medical staff really wants him to. And so he's trying to spin curveballs and mixing some changeup off the mound. So he's going to have to face some hitters, and he's going to have to put some intensity into it and see how his fingers hold up and how his body holds up, because he hasn't really put this type of action into his pitches yet. So we'll have to see. But once he gets this game action and then starts building up the endurance, kind of like similar to what Jake Odorizzi had to do, you're going to have to kind of build him up slowly and then get him back into game action. So it's going to take maybe a month and a half to get him back up to speed. But that would be a big shot in arm for the Astros to get him back in game action, because there was talk. I know John Heyman kept on scaring Astros fans. Oh, he's going to have surgery. He's going to be out for the whole year. Move Astros fans. And so, but I think that this is good news for the Astros. And I know a lot of people are positive that Odorizzi is not seriously hurt as well.
I think with, with the emergence of Ken Emanuel, and again, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he gets to start on Thursday and what that's going to look like, because, you know, he comes in the game the other day, they've got no scouting report on this kid, and it's not to take away from what he did, but if he's able to eat up some innings, and I love Garcia in the back end of the rotation, but I think I love him more out of the bullpen. But if you can get through the next 4 to 6 weeks and allow Framber to kind of, as you said, you know, build up the arm strength, build up the endurance. I would much rather have him at 100%, you know, in mid-June than to try to bring him back too early and for him, you know, only to be able to go 3 or 4 innings here or there, because I think he's going to be down the stretch. He'll be one of our guys, you know, and I think If we're able to stay in this race and create a little bit of a lead as you get into, you know, August and September, that staff's going to take over, and I think we dominate because there's no, they haven't shown that they wouldn't. I mean, think about it. You know, all the bullpen pieces are out there, right? Paredes, when's he supposed to come back? What's the latest on him? I haven't heard much.
I haven't heard much recently. I know that I really haven't heard much either, but I know that he should be coming back fairly soonish, but I haven't, I can't remember the last report we got on him, but a Dusty Baker on Christian Javier, he gave us what he want, what we wanted, and that was seven innings, and you didn't have to use the bullpen, and that's what Kent Emmanuel did the other day. They didn't have to use the bullpen, so we're not having to overuse the bullpen like the Angels had to do the other day, and so what the Astros starters are doing. The Astros starters are 5-1 with a 1.72 ERA with four quality starts in their last six games. And that's with Jake Odorizzi only throwing five pitches in that one game. So the Astros starters are impressing, are really doing a lot better. So we have seen a shift of the rotation. They're going from being this one that you can't rely on to all of a sudden becoming this dependable one. Can they keep this up? I think so. I think this was a situation where a lot of them were not built up to full steam. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we didn't get a chance to talk about today. Like Pedro Leon is going to be playing primarily shortstop at Double A this year. I thought he was supposed to be the Astros center fielder of the future. And then Pedro Baez, he's hurt again, and he's we already knew that he was put on the 60-day IL, but we may not even see him until, what, June 9th? And so this was supposed to be our big reliever for the bullpen, and so I know that they're just trying to give Leon some depth, but we'll have to definitely talk about this. But we didn't get a chance to introduce you, Dean, so where can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, thank you so much. You can find me at ABC News 4 Dean on Twitter. And that's the best place to find me. And I'm supposed to be talking about a lot of news here in Charleston, South Carolina, but my Twitter feed is usually dominated with Astro thoughts and observations.
Okay, since we haven't really talked in a while, how many wins do you think the Astros are going to get on the season?
I'm going to go 102. I'm going to go 102.
They're at 500, Dean. They're one game over 500. You're going to go 102.
Okay, so let me throw this back at you there, radio host. So how many wins is the leading pitcher on the Astros going to have this year? How many wins?
Apparently, according to Amory, 21.
I want you. I want to hear from you.
I mean, at this point, I think 17 to 18 okay. Max.
Not over 20.
Yeah, not over 20.
Okay. So what do you think? You think anywhere between 90 and 100 for wins?
Yeah, I've been saying I think a 93 or something wins this division, but because maybe at the way the teams are playing, maybe 95 will take 95 wins to win this division. And the way the Angels and the A's are playing, you're probably going to have to play some better baseball, and you're probably going to have to make a trade at the trade deadline. And I don't know if the Astros have the resources to do it.
What do you want them to trade for?
I don't know if the Astros have the resources to do it, but we don't have time to talk about this on this podcast, and we'll have to push this back. But Dean, thank you for joining, and Will, but thank you for joining as well. And guys, we'll be back tomorrow with the Locked On Astros podcast. Go Astros. I know it's an early game, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Go Astros, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Eric.